Well, good morning. Needless to say, I am very nervous. Sometimes it's a good thing when you don't know anybody, but then sometimes it's nice to have a few friendly faces, you know, too. So go ahead and turn to Psalm 62. My topic is expectations. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read our verse. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be here. And Lord, I know that I am nothing in myself. And Lord, I need you this morning to speak through me and to use me to be a blessing and a help to these ladies. I know that not everything will apply to everyone, but Lord, I pray that they would be able to get something from the session this morning. Lord, my desire is to get myself completely out of the way. And Lord, that you would just take over and help me to remember things that you want me to say and to forget the things that you don't. Well, Lord, I just pray that your perfect will would be done in our lives today. I pray for the men's session that you would use my husband to help the men over there right now. And Lord, I just thank you for loving me, and I thank you, Lord, for saving me, and I thank you for being a pastor's wife. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm 62, let's look in verse 5, expectations. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And look in verse 8. It says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So, expectations. I've been a pastor's wife for a little over 44 years. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. No. I just turned 64. And my life has been very full and rewarding. And there have been heartaches. There have been trials. There have been disappointments. But, you know, I'm still here today, and God is still faithful. He knows what we're going to go through before we ever go through it. And Roger has pastored 3 different churches. Our first church, we were there for 2 years. I was just shy of being 20 years old. That was rough.
Yeah.
You know, we had a 10-month-old. And I was expecting our second child in about a month. So I have our two oldest daughters are only 11 months apart. And so I was busy. But it was a small country church. They had no expectations of me, which was fine with me, you know, because I was busy being a wife and a mom, you know. So anyway, but when you first, how many are pastor's wives? Okay, associate pastor's wives? Okay. When you first became a pastor's wife, did you know what to expect? Really? You know, we all had some kind of idea. My grandmother was a pastor's wife, and I can remember as a young girl, I thought, oh, wow, she is so cool. You know, she would do the bulletins on those old mimeographic machines, you know, those ones that really stink, you know. You young ladies probably have no idea what that is, you know. But, you know, the one thing that stands out in my memory of her is how she stood behind my papa. I mean, she was a very meek, she had a very meek and quiet spirit. And I know that she prayed for him and she supported him in any way she could in the ministry. And, when I became a pastor's wife, I did not have the opportunity to glean from her in my older youth years because we had moved away, and back then we couldn't afford long-distance phone calls, you know, and I am not a letter writer. But I wish I had had that opportunity to learn some things from her. But anyway, So I kind of had an idea of what to expect, but not really. And then, did you really know what would be expected of you from your ladies? Yeah. Is that a yes or a no? Okay, no. Okay, I'm not the only one. Okay. But anyway, so expectations. Three different areas we're kind of going to touch on today. I'm sorry, I can't see. What other people expect of us, our personal expectations, and what our Heavenly Father expects from us. What is expected of a pastor's wife? Well, the first thing is assumed responsibilities. You know, assumed. Okay. You know, many times we're expected to take on responsibilities or duties that are unrealistic, not even fair, you know. But so it could be, and sometimes when we step into the role of pastor's wife following another, sometimes it's not the lady's fault. It's because that's what was expected before or what the previous pastor's wife did. Maybe she did everything. And we're coming in and just like a fish out of water, you know, it's like, oh, what am I supposed to do? You know, sometimes they expect us to be the Sunday school teacher, especially the ladies' class. Now, I can handle children any day of the week. That's easy. But teaching ladies, that's a little bit more challenging. You know, they expect us to be a counselor, an organizer, an event planner and coordinator. I mean, that's a biggie. You know, they come to, when are we going to have a pastor? When are we going to have a ladies' meeting? When are we going to do this? When are we going to do that? It's like, I don't know. So, you know, and they expect us to be the major problem solver of anything that comes up. We have all the answers. Do we? No way. No way do we have the. And, of course, the peacemaker. You know, they expect us to be able to just take care of everything. But, you know, it's not what we can do. It's what the Lord does through us. You know, we have to depend on Him like everybody else. When the Lord calls your husband to a new church, it's not always an easy move. How many have been in more than one church as pastor's wife? Not many. Okay. Our second church, we moved to South Louisiana. I'm a Northeast Mississippi girl. And the Lord moved us to the south coast of Louisiana in Cajun country. So we were really missionaries on a foreign field. You know, I was 22, almost 22. I was away from my parents, my grandparents. All my family was in North Mississippi. Here we are down here on this. I felt like an island. And I could not understand them. They spoke so fast and such a thick, I call it a dialect. It's like, could you repeat that? You know. But anyway, when we moved there, our oldest daughter was 3, our next daughter was 2, and our third daughter was 4 months old. And I was just shy of 22 years old. Okay. And It was different. Let me see what else I have written down. You know, I made the comment that it's not always easy to move to a new church. But, you know, every time the Lord has moved me, when He moved me to, I say me, you know what I mean. When He moved us to South Louisiana and then to Texas, the Lord always gave me a lady that she just loved on me, kind of took me under her wing, you know, because I was a young lady, especially in Louisiana, and she taught me how to sew. I had a sewing machine, but I didn't really know how to sew. She taught me a lot of things, but it's not, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's not like she was my BFF, because she just, the Lord gave me her to kind of ease that transition for me. That's how much our Father loves us. And then when we moved to Texas, same thing. He gave me a lady No, we're not BFFs right now. We're friends. But, I mean, he gave me that lady at that season in my life when I needed someone. When we moved to Texas, we had been in South Louisiana for 14 and a half years. So my children, that's all they knew. The Lord gave us more children after we got there, but that's all they knew was growing up in Louisiana. And now they're going to move us. They're thinking, now they're going to move us to Texas. And it's like, I'm leaving all my friends. You know, it's one thing when we miss someone, but when our children, you can hear them crying themselves to sleep at night because they felt all alone. That's hard on a mom. Our oldest daughter was, I think, 17. Our youngest was 9 when we moved. All they knew, they left their friends, they left their schools. And we were homeschooling at that time, but everything was different. And that was hard. But you know, the Lord is faithful. The Lord has given them new friends, new adventures. And you know, now, as grown women, our oldest is now 45. These are their ages, 45, 44, 42, 39, and 37. I did good. Okay. It's a lot easier to do that when I was a lot younger. But you know, if the Lord moves us to another church, it would just be me and Roger, because our children are grown. They have their own work. They have their own homes. 2 of them are married. There's no way they would leave Texas. No way now. But you see how far the Lord can bring us, even ourselves. I hope that I am in Texas for the rest of my life, you know. Change is not easy. But anyway, I'll move on. Enough of that one. But when we do go to a new place and we feel like they're expecting so much of us, and if you're following behind the footsteps of a pastor's wife that you really respect and have high esteem for, it can be very intimidating. You have feelings of inadequacy, even fear. It's just like, I can remember asking myself, what am I doing here? But, you know, I felt, well, just let me tell you what happened to me. One of the things. We moved there in September, and in November we had our annual missions conference. Well, these ladies come to me, and because the previous pastor's wife took care of everything. And so they come in and they start talking to me about, we have our dinner around the world to close it out. We do tables. We decorate for different countries. And it's like, I didn't have a clue what they were talking about. I had never experienced. I had never been around anything like that. A missions conference is when, you know, the preacher comes in and they preach to us about missions or whatever. You have a missionary or two come through. Nothing like that. And so I was feeling so overwhelmed. I mean, to the point I just wanted to sit down and cry. I wanted to hide. Roger knew how I was feeling. And it was very obvious. And so he had made the decision. Yeah, you know, they know. He had made the decision, well, this year we wouldn't do the table decorating. We wouldn't do the dinner around the world. We were just going to have a missions conference. Well, these ladies, needless to say, were very upset and very disappointed. Disappointed more than upset. And it's like, I felt like a heel, you know, because we weren't doing it, but I didn't know what to do. So a couple of the ladies came to me. They were sisters, and they came to Roger and says, if we take over the organizations and just take care of everything, can we still do it? He said, sure. I'm thinking, yes, you know, and they did. I was an observer that year. So once we did it, I thought, oh, that's what you were talking about. I see that now. I'm a visual aid kind of person. Show me something and I can do it. And so ever since then, the next year, I was more involved. I wasn't in charge, but I was more involved. I knew what to expect, what to do. And now, for the past, oh gosh, I don't know how many years, we've been there 28 years. And so I've been in charge. But I have, over the last, I would probably say 8 years to 10 years, I have set aside and delegated the decorations part. That's not really my best cup of tea. I'm good in the kitchen. So I'm in charge of the kitchen. I do the menus. We get together. I do the shopping, you know. Anyway, and everything works well because we work together as a team. That is the key, is you working together. There has always been unity and even harmony in the kitchen. And with the decorating, our ladies, they look forward to this every year. But at day one, the first year, oh, no, that wasn't for me. So anyway, but yeah, very inadequate and overwhelmed. And one thing Roger told me right after we moved there, too, is I was feeling very intimidated is the best word I can use to describe it. And so I was talking to Roger one day. He said, Cindy, he said, you are not my associate pastor. I said, thank the Lord. He said, you are my wife and you are the mother of our children. Focus on that. That is your priority. That is your job. And I thought, you know, I cannot express how that helped me. It lifted that load. I could breathe again. And it's not like I didn't know these things, but I needed to hear it from him. You know, it's okay if you don't do everything. You're not Supergirl, you know. We don't have to do everything. We have to do what the Lord wants us to do. What is his expectation of us? And so anyway, I have a lot of papers. It looks like a whole lot, but I have them big because so I can see better, and then I still can't see. I had cataract and glaucoma surgery back in May, and so I still can't see up close. But anyway, I don't know about you, but I had to learn how to delegate responsibilities. I've always been the type, I just do it. I don't ask for help. Does anybody else do that? It took me having a broke leg 2 days before our missions conference started 1 year for the Lord to set me down and say, hey, it goes on without you. It's not all about you. And it's like, okay, Lord, okay, I got this. I learned my lesson. You know, I learned it some. You know, he has had to remind me a few times, you know, because Roger would say, delegate some of this stuff. Ask for help. And it's like, yeah, but it's like, yeah. You know, everything doesn't have to be done our way. You know, we're not the only ones that can cook. We're not the only ones that can decorate. We're not the only ones that can teach a Sunday school class. I see you looking around. You know, we're not it, you know, and we don't have to be. We just have to be in our place doing what the Lord has for us to do. And that's where you have to pray and ask him, Lord, what is it you want me to do? You know, you always hear the messages about being in the perfect will of God. Well, that's easy for us to begin with as women, as wives, as mothers. We know what we're supposed to do, but what about after that? Our children are out of the house. We're empty nesters. You know, I have more free time. Not to, you know, besides what time I spend with my grandkids. you know, that's different. Oh, and their ages, by the way, are 19, 18, 15, 14, 9, and 6. Wide range there. So, anyway, you know, sometimes women will kind of hold us to a different standard than everyone else. They kind of put us up on a pedestal and expect more. Is that pleasant? No. It's not easy to be put under a magnifying glass, especially when it comes to our children. I was talking about some of these things with my girls a few weeks ago, and I made the comment about, you know, people, they look to us different. They expect more of us. And they all at the same time just about said, and their kids. You know, being a PK is not a cup of tea, you know. They hear people talk about their dad. When we moved to Texas, they had never experienced that. They never heard anybody badmouth their dad about decisions he made or whatever. And they had to deal with some bitterness when they got to Texas because of that, because they didn't appreciate it. Well, you know, none of us appreciates it. But that's something, you know, our kids, they expect them to be better. They look at our apparel. They look at our actions. They look at our attitudes. We need to be a good example, a godly example, yes. But sometimes their expectations are unrealistic, and they put more on us than what even our Heavenly Father does. Personal expectations. What do I expect as being a pastor's wife? Do you have any? I expect my husband to love me, to watch out for me, to protect me, to provide for me. You know, and that protecting me, sometimes he protects me from myself. You know, we're our own worst enemies. And sometimes he has to tell me no. And it's like, I don't like that. You know, just I'll ask him if I can do this or go here or do that, buy this. And he says no. And it's like, but, yeah, no. Because he knows that that would not be in my best interest. You see, love is doing what is in the best interest of those you love. And sometimes he says no. I expect him to provide security for me. I came from a bad, not a broken home, but not a good home life. And it caused me as a young teenager to be very insecure. So when Roger came along and we got married, he gave me that security that I so needed. And he'll do that for our children. And so it's just, we need some security in our hearts and our lives. And I expect him to provide my basic needs. Not everything I want. That's very unrealistic. And, you know, we as wives, especially as pastors' wives, it seems like sometimes there's never enough money to go around. You know, you scrimp and you save and you do menus, you know, where everything stretches when you have five little kids at home. And you don't make much money, you have to be very creative. But you know what? Most of all, we have to learn to be content. Be content with what God has provided through our husbands. You know, it's not always his fault. If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. You know, so don't put undue pressure on him. Say, well, let's go here. Let's go out to eat. Let's buy this. Let's buy that. Let's go on vacation. We didn't know what vacations were. We couldn't even take our kids to McDonald's when they were young. It was a major treat. And so then what we would do is their dad would take the girls on a date, you know, to McDonald's. You know, you think, well, gosh, that's nothing. It was to us back then. You know, we just, you know, as I say, you hardly have two pennies to rub together. Yeah, that was us. I talked about learning to sew. I cannot tell you how many clothes I sewed for my daughters. I didn't sew for my son. No, I wasn't that good. You know, but we had matching dresses, me and the girls. Did they like it? No, but they did it anyway. They wore them anyway. Our third daughter, she was always a tomboy. Oh, my goodness. Do not give her any job of housework in the house. Put her in the yard, weed eating, mowing the grass, whatever. Killing rabbits we raised, you know, nothing but in the house. But, yeah. So, anyway, she fought me tooth and nail about those dresses. But they wore them anyway. But You just never know what the Lord is going to ask of us. But you know, whatever he asks of us, he always makes a way. And I feel like I'm running out of time. Okay, now let's look at our Father's expectations. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. I know, I just feel like that. 1 Peter chapter 3. What is God's expectations of us? You know, it said in Psalm that our expectations were of him. Well, what does he expect of us? What is of great price to him? Let's see. Let's start in verse 1. It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. It doesn't mean how we talk. We know that that means how we live. It says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the that outward adorning of or plaiting of hair. I'm sorry, I can't really see. And of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. Of course, we know we have to put on apparel. This is all about moderation. Nothing in extreme. In other words, I should not be up here trying to teach you, and all you see is flashing jewelry. That's just my thing, because it is excess. Should I look nice? Yeah. Excess, I love accessories, but in moderation. You know, you just don't go overboard. Like, I'll just say, there's a young, not a young woman, an older woman in our church, and she has rings on every fingers. She always has very beautiful jewelry, earrings, bracelet. I mean, to a T, she looks really nice. I cannot do that. You know, I talked about how that our ladies expect higher standards. They're looking at us. We may never teach a Sunday school class. We may never teach the ladies, for sure. But, you know, we teach every day. Every time they see us, when they see you at Walmart, in the grocery store, they're looking, they're observing, they're watching, and they see how we treat the cashier at the checkout. They notice things, and that's not in my notes. That's a little extra. In Louisiana, we call that lagniap, right, sister? But anyway, they notice, they see things. Okay, I forgot where's that. I do get distracted easy. Verse 4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That is having a gentle spirit. It means we don't always have to dominate a conversation, especially with our ladies. You know, if we can be a woman of few words, so much the better. Because our tongue will get us in so much trouble. And I'm just going to talk a little bit more about that. But, I mean, what does God expect of us? He expects us to be a godly wife, mother, grandmother. You know, we're limited to what we can do with our grandchildren as far as teaching and admonishing, not to go above what their parents' rules or standards are. But it doesn't mean we can't talk to them about the goodness of God. It does not mean that we cannot tell them when the times that God has answered our prayers. You know, you can be a godly example to them as well. So being a godly woman, first of all, is pleasing to our Father. Being a godly wife. You know, Proverbs 31, it talks about the wife doing him good all the days of our life. And then I wrote down here, I had this thought about protecting our husband's time. You know, it takes time for him to get along with God in prayer, in meditation, finding the mind of God for the message. They preach, what, 3 times a week? They have to have the mind of the Lord, and it takes time. And my husband is not a morning person. When he first gets up, he's not a talker. Me, I get up, I'm ready to carry on a conversation. He's not. So I've had to learn, painfully learn, and I'm still learning. Don't carry on a conversation. Let him have his coffee. Let him have his time. Then you can talk to him and bombard him with all those questions of the day that you had. But respecting his time, I try to screen the phone calls. You know, the house phone, not his cell phone, of course. But, you know, someone will call and ask to speak to him. I said, well, could I ask who's calling? Because if it's a sales call, forget it. You know, you learn to pick up on, you can tell if it's something that you feel like you need to take him the phone. But I try to guard his time. And even when, you know, a lot of times our ladies will come to us and ask us questions because they don't want to go to the pastor. They feel intimidated and fearful, you know, whatever. There's one lady in our church now that she will do this every time. She don't like to ask him questions. And it's not like he's going to bite her head off or, you know, nothing like that. But it's just she'd rather come to me to ask me the questions. And it's like sometimes I cannot answer those questions. And I will say, you're going to have to talk to him about that. You know, I'm not the pastor's wife. I'm not the pastor. You're going to have to talk to him about that. When it's decisions that need to be made with the ministry of the church, I am not in authority to answer their questions, nor should I be. You know, but it's, if it's petty things, I try to answer those questions and keep him from being bombarded with those kind of questions, because it's always at church just about when they have these questions, and he has the message on his heart and his mind, and he doesn't need to be distracted with some of that. So, but you have to learn where that line is, and the Lord will help you with that discernment. When my children were younger, you know, my focus was on my home. It was taking care of my husband, taking care of my children, taking care of my home. That means I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm sewing, I'm training my daughters how to do these things. Did they like it? Oh, no. But you know, as a young adult now, they say, Mama, thank you for teaching me how to clean a house. Who would have ever thought my tomboy daughter would tell me this? But she is a paramedic now. She is the district chief in our county. And she said when she first started into the EMT ministry, I call it a ministry, because she's gifted in, with that. She says, Mama says, you would not believe the homes that I have to go into. She says, oh, Mom, it makes me appreciate you so much more. And it's like, that was worth all those years of fighting over it, you know. Saying, yes, you're going to clean your room. Yes, you're going to do this. You know, and I taught my daughters how to cook. I mean, we need to teach them those basic skills, being a woman. Doesn't matter if they ever get married. And we always had this rule in the kitchen. If you cooked, you don't have to clean up. So I have my second daughter, she says, she loves to cook. She says, I'll do the cooking, because she hated washing dishes. Because, see, we didn't have a dishwasher. You know, my husband just never could see the importance of having a dishwasher. He said, we have five. Why do we need an electric dishwasher? He just doesn't understand. But, you know, when I broke my leg, and he doesn't like paper plates, he learned the value of some of those things during that time. And do I have a dishwasher now? Yes. The Lord bless me. Yes. Because I don't have those other four dishwashers at the house now. But I taught my son how to wash dishes. Oh, yeah, he had some of those skills. And, you know, now on Sundays, they all come to my house for lunch. I cook, they come. But, you know, as grown children, they love coming to Mom and Dad's house, you know. And that's from years of the sacrifice and teaching and training and helping them. But sometimes he'll get in there. If I'm doing the cooking, they won't let me get in there and clean up. So I usually don't argue with that. Sometimes he gets in there and he'll start rinsing off the dishes to put in the dishwasher. You know, it doesn't hurt them to learn either. You know, it's not like you're making the sissy out of them by teaching your boys to do certain things. But anyway, that's some more of that Lagniappe stuff. And if you stay busy focusing on your family, your home, you won't have time to run the roads. You won't have time to be on the phone all the time. I hate talking on the phone. You won't have time to waste on the computer. Do you realize how much time we waste on the computer? Something now it's on our phones, you know, Facebook, okay? I am on Facebook. I like keeping up with preachers' wives, missionaries' wives. Anyway, that's my thing. But you know, do you realize sometimes how much time we waste on that? Yeah. But I didn't have all that back then. And even watching TV. When our children were growing up in Louisiana, we didn't have a television in our home. When we moved to Texas, we got one, and I wish we never had, you know. But you learn some of those things. We all have regrets, right? But we learn from them and go on and try to help someone else that struggles with the same things. Being a godly sister in Christ, we cannot show partiality. That's a biggie. You know, sometimes being a pastor's wife is lonely in the sense that, you know, really we can't have a BFF, because then other ladies will look at that and say, well, they're just showing partiality. They like her a lot more than me. Now, there are women that you like more than others. That's just natural. There are some women in your congregations that are like sandpaper Christians. You know, you tolerate them, but it's not like you're going to have a really friendly conversation. You know what I'm saying? Surely I'm not the only one that feels that way. But you know, the Lord puts those sandpaper ladies in our lives to teach us some things. Teaches us patience. Oh, no. Yeah. Teaches us some discernment. I had a pastor's wife, one of the previous ones, felt the need to give me the insight of a few of my ladies when I first got there. I wished I had never heard those words. It was like, be careful what you say to her. She'll repeat it, you know, or this and that. And the main two ladies she pointed out to me have never in 28 years given me 1 ounce of trouble. But you know what it did do? It affected my thoughts about those ladies for years. It's like I would not even get in a normal conversation with them. And it hurt me. It damaged me in that sense. And so if you're passing the baton off to another pastor's wife, don't do that to her, because it's just not healthy. And it really was not very Christian. And, yeah, so we have to be, we cannot show partiality. But you know, I was talking about, you can't have a BFF. My daughters are really my best friends. We love going places and doing things together. We try to, now once a year, we try to make a girls' trip. You know, we went to Fredericksburg 1 year, and any of y'all ever been to the Enchanted Rock or heard it? Okay. Well, we decided we were going to do that, okay? So we start on the trail and realize we left the map in the car. No one would go back and get the map out of the car. So what do? They drag me, unbeknowing, up the most challenging route to the top of that rock. They just about killed me. But anyway, but we do like doing things together. You know, I mentioned that they come over on Sunday for lunch. After we've eaten lunch and the kitchen's cleaned up, me and my daughters will sit down and play Aggravation. Have y'all ever heard that board game, you know, with the marbles? And it's very aggravating. You know, and four people can play. So you partner up, And they look forward to that every week. And so now the granddaughter comes in and she plays. Because, you know, I have four daughters and one son. And now I have five grandsons and only one granddaughter. So Roger says that the force has been equalized, you know. But and the boys, they love it. Our grandkids, our grandsons, the 14 and 15-year-old, they love to come and just spend the night, hang out. They help. They go fishing a lot with us. And Roger's teaching them how to drive his truck now. But anyway, we play aggravation all the time. They love it. They eat it up. But it's just spending that quality time together. And I don't know why I even mentioned that. Oh, the fact that we love doing things together. But so you have to take time for your family. We have to be friendly to everyone. We have to be fair to everyone. And then we have to stay out of everybody else's business. We have this little, I don't know what you call it, MYOB, mind your own business. We even sing it to the tune of Bingo, B-I-N-G-O. Anyway, you know, I'm not going to sing it for you. We don't get caught up in the drama in the church. Is there drama in the church? Oh, yes. Especially among ladies when it comes to weddings. Oh, my. You just cannot believe the trouble that comes in a congregation over weddings. What some want to do, get upset because they can't do it. It just, yeah. Well, y'all know what I mean on that. We have to focus on being a part of the solution and not a part of the problems in our church. Then you also have to be flexible. Okay, I got to hurry. I'm going to be flexible. The fact that our husband, he's like a soldier of Christ. He's in God's army. There's times he's got to be away. There's times our schedules get changed. Everything, you know, is always up in the air because it seems like something's always coming up. Whether it's an emergency, someone's sick, someone's dying, someone needs to talk to the pastor. We have to be willing to give up that time and allow him to do what God has called him to do. And is it easy? Not always. Does jealousy come into play sometimes? Oh, yeah. A little. Well, anyway, that goes back to my insecurity as a young pastor's wife. But, yeah, some things you just have to trust the Lord with, you know. Okay, one thing I want to mention before I quit. When our husband has a meeting with someone, a counseling, you know, counseling. There's some things that he cannot tell us as his wife. You say, yeah, but he's supposed to share everything. We're in this ministry together. No, there's some things that he just cannot tell you. Some things he should not tell you. You see, we as women, our makeup is different. Not makeup. Our emotions are different. We cannot handle some of the problems that some of our people have. And if there's something that our husband feels like we need to know, let him be the one to share it. Don't bombard him with questions as soon as he walks in the door from a meeting. Who are you talking with? What did they say? What's wrong? What kind of counsel did you give them? It's not our business. That's not our job description. And we don't need to know. Just like I was talking about, you know, sometimes if we know too much information, when we see that person, that's exactly where our mind goes to. And we need to love our ladies above board. We don't need to know everything that goes on in everyone else's home. Some things are obvious, it's seen, but we don't have to know everything. And we don't need to know everything. And this is one of the ways that my husband protects me. Sure, I'm curious, aren't we all? But I don't have to know those things. And those times that he does share information with us, he's trusting us to keep it to ourselves. You know, sometimes he may say, "No, I don't need you to tell nobody else. I know that already." But sometimes they just feel like they need to say that, you know. But, we have to learn to keep our mouth shut. I know that don't sound very nice, but we do. We cannot tell everything we know to everybody in the church. They don't need to know what's going on. Whoever's involved, if they want someone to know, let them be the one to tell it. But we are not to do that. Because, our home is a refuge for us, but especially for our husbands. And so he needs some peace and quiet at times. Yeah, not just first thing in the morning, but we don't have to ask him a zillion questions. I am guilty of this, okay? I have to work on this daily, more than once a day sometimes. But you know, we as pastors' wives, we have to learn to be ourselves. We have to be real. We have to be available. We have to be approachable. When our ladies need some help in some areas, we need to be able to be there to help them. We have to have our priorities in order. If our priorities are not in order, then our expectations will not be realistic. I thought just raising your hand. I told you I can't see. But you know, there's times, many times, that a pastor's wife will be unappreciated. You know, there hasn't always been a pastor's appreciation day or week. We will be misunderstood. We will be misrepresented. And we will be criticized. But not by all. Those are just some will do that. But my ladies, the Lord has given me such a great group of ladies. They love me. They appreciate me. They respect me. And they pray for me. Driving over yesterday, I kept getting text after text. This morning, first thing, praying for you that the Lord would help you, because I knew I was real nervous. But they love me, and they're my prayer warriors. If I am struggling with something, or if I know one of my children have a decision to make, there's certain ladies in my church. I don't share it with everybody, but I have some prayer warriors that I can go to and ask for prayer, and I know that they will pray earnestly about that, and it will go no further. They will not even mention it to their husbands unless I say it's okay if y'all pray with us about this together. You know, value your ladies that you have like that. And, you know, I know I talked about a lot of negative stuff, but you know, the positive far outweighs the negative. You know, we are privileged and honored to stand behind our husbands, beside our husbands, and work with him in the ministry. The perfect will for us is to be whatever he needs us to be in the ministry, to help him. Communicate with him. What do you want? What do you expect of me as your wife, as this flock's pastor's wife? Communicate with him. That thought just left me. Let me get this on. Oh, doing whatever he needs in the ministry. I am my husband's piano player, have been all of our ministry. I have been his secretary for the past 28 years. It was kind of dropped in my lap when we moved to Texas. I've had bookkeeping skills, but I've learned a whole lot more since then. But, you know, and that protects him from me, with me being his secretary. Not every woman can do that. I love it. I love working with him. And Sure, there's other piano players. We have several. But you know what? He likes me to be on the piano. I don't know why. I am not the best piano player, but I'm his best piano player, okay? So anyway, I hope this has helped you. Just some of it is just reminding us of some things. Do I have all the answers? Oh, no. I don't even have all the questions. I am still learning. After 44 years of being a pastor's wife, I am still learning of what God expects from me, what my husband expects of me, and what my ladies expect of me. So, anyway, that's all I have.